for invasion. This is Indie Invasion.
In the sky, the harbinger. Across the globe, the great religions of the world held sway, each possessed of its own capital of learning and faith. In April 1793, each of these religious capitals received a visitation, later confirmed to be simultaneous. The lamas of Tibet and the Holy See of the Vatican bore witness, even as Hindi Brahmas and Varanasi imams of Mecca and Istanbul and rabbis in Jerusalem paid host to this mysterious figure. In Amritsar, Sikh leaders wondered at the arrival, and at the same moment the appearance came before dozens of other high priests and priestesses of other religions across the world. From Issei in Japan to Stonehenge in England. This individual would later be called the harbinger by most, or the herald to others. The messenger claimed that a great apocalypse was soon to befall humankind, and terrifying beings intent on the domination of Earth would invade the planet. The stranger promised, in countless languages, to bring the secrets of magic to humanity to combat this threat. To all but one group, the promises the harbinger made were dismissed out of hand. His outlandish claims were easily ignored in ignorance of the supernatural context of the visitation. Yet in the Vatican, the Holy Father listened to the words of the harbinger and was moved to paranoia, if not total belief. If the harbinger spoke the truth, not only was the world in grave peril, the secrets of miracles were free to be unlocked. Driven by the fear that others might possess this knowledge first, Pope Pius VI ordered the harbinger detained within a cell beneath the Vatican so that his secrets could be learned. For days and weeks toiled the highest-ranking priests of the Inquisition, though their more unpleasant skills were never needed, for the harbinger was willing to talk at length on the nature of magic and the rendering of its power in the mortal plane. Sometimes his explanations baffled all sense as the harbinger attempted to explain the origins of the multidimensional universe to minds raised within the strict walls of heaven, earth, and hell. Nevertheless, even amongst the many esoteric conversations that threatened to turn the theology of the church upon its head, there were many practical descriptions that allowed the faithful to enact the miracles of the Heavenly Father. Copious notes were taken of these lessons, to be studied later at leisure. But the confession of the harbinger sowed dissent among the small group of cardinals privy to his existence. In particular, Cardinal Antonelli believed that this knowledge, and the harbinger's warning of a great conflict to come, had to be shared with the masses, too valuable to keep secret in the bowels of the Vatican. Most of his contemporaries did not share this view and hoarded knowledge as they did other forms of power, believing the harbinger's words to be the key to the church's eternal survival. With the power to show God's will almost on demand, there would be none that could resist the teachings of the Mother Church. Antonelli made a copy of the Book of Magic in secret and fled with it, fearing great danger would befall him if he continued his resistance within the Council of Cardinals. It was perhaps a prescient move, for just a few days later, on the 3rd of July, 1793, the Harbinger was murdered by the order of Cardinal Giacinto Gerdil, prefect of the Holy Office. None can say what developments and politics had led to this drastic move, nor what dread had driven the command to enact it. The reasons were never transmitted beyond the cardinals, and none could ever tell. For in the moments after the assassination had been carried out, as the Harbinger's last breath left his body, titanic disaster befell Rome and the surrounding lands. The rent opens. A great explosion bathed the Vatican in fire as a monstrous convulsion emanated from beneath the Mediterranean Sea, tearing at the shores and swallowing countless ships. It seemed as though the sky itself bucked like an unbroken steed, as terrifying dark clouds swathed the night sky while earthquakes ruptured the lands of Italy. Whole towns were swallowed as cliffs fell into the raging waves and tidal swells engulfed shorelines. Multicolored lightning wreathed the heavens, reflected in the storm-tossed waves. The arcs of power danced across the crests, which mirrored the sheen of energy that split the sky. As the lifeblood flowed from the last beat of the Harbinger's heart, a flux of mystical energy poured from a breach in reality, torn across the sky, just as Gerdil's blade had slashed the messenger's throat. Where this stream of power touched, cataclysm ensued. Eldritch energy rippled from southern Veneto to Florence, leaving fiery gorges in its wake. In Rome and the Holy See itself, a curtain of flames rained down, breaking apart ancient stones, toppling the Colosseum, and reducing the great dome of the Papal Basilica of St. Peter to crumbling ruin. All within the papal capital was turned to shattered rubble and broken bodies. As though a dagger was drawn across its corpse, Italy was ripped asunder by titanic forces, bisected east to west by a terrible rip upon the earth from which rushed forth rivers of lava. Chains of fresh volcanoes burst into existence, shredding what was left of southern Italy, sending fresh waves of destruction across the scattered remains of Tuscany, the Papal States, and kingdoms of Sicily. Matching the wavering rent in the sky, the gouge split the lands as surely as a line on a map. Everything south fell into the crashing seas, and everything north was spared. Belching forth their own rage, volcanoes that had lain dormant for an age erupted into fresh life. Mount Etna exploded with a vengeance not seen for centuries, ripping asunder the entire eastern half of Sicily. Vesuvius, ancient destroyer of Herculaneum and Pompeii, returned to fiery life to incinerate Naples and Salerno with clouds of hot ash. The waters were all consuming, the greater part of Italy disappearing beneath the foaming waves as though dragged into the depths by a godly hand. Those that had survived the initial cataclysm had but a few moments before the unquiet seas swept through Rome and the Vatican, pouring through the streets to drown saint and sinner alike. The scenes were repeated in every other city. while farmlands vanished into the merciless Mediterranean, hills and valleys falling beneath the waves so that all evidence of humanity was scoured from their slopes. It was not Italy alone that was inundated by this disaster. Across the Mediterranean, the wrathful seas and unquiet earth wreaked havoc. From Valencia all the way to Gibraltar, the Spanish coast was eradicated, turned to treacherous rocks among the foam-flecked waves. The Balearics were swallowed entirely, and more than a month passed before they resurfaced. The southern coast of France was razed by the tempest, as was Tunisia and other stretches of the North African coast. Corsica, Sardinia, Sicily, and other islands all but vanished, denuded of all human life in minutes, becoming just clutches of rocky islets among the tortured waves.
Thanks, guys, for listening to today's tales. You can find our Indie Invasion podcast on all podcast platforms, including Podbean, Google, and iTunes. And please visit us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and if you can, support us on Patreon/Indie Invasion. And feel free to email us with any questions or comments at indieinvasion@gmail.com. And remember, guys, don't forget to prepare yourself for the invasion.